This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى and his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم brought the best of systems of living life. This is not a slogan, this is a reality. And part of that system is what? Islah. Like the body is not staying the same. You don't have the same blood you had years ago. You don't have the same skin you had years ago. You don't have the same bones you had years ago even. It takes 7 years to cycle through the skeleton. You're not the same material you were before. Rather, everything is made, it has a use, that use is fulfilled, and when it starts to break down, the body makes islah of itself. It rectifies and it fixes what's broken or what doesn't work anymore. This is a natural system, this is a natural part of order. Islah is not something that people should be scared of. Rectification or correction is not something people should be scared of. Rather, if they understand in a holistic sense what it is and what its meaning is, they should welcome it. Why? Because through it is a person's benefit, and to ignore it is a person's destruction. If the body wasn't to restore itself, a person would literally fall apart. Just like that, spiritually and as a community, if we cannot make islah of ourselves, we will fall apart. We will become decrepit, we will rot, and we will not move forward, we will not survive. Rather, we will fall apart, we will be destroyed. If we can accept islah, if we can accept rectification, we will become better than what we were before, we will become stronger than what we were before. In fact, when a person works out or exercises, what do? They put pressure on certain parts of the body, on certain muscles, in certain points in certain muscles, in certain points on certain bones, and it actually makes the person stronger. When a person's bone breaks, where the bone heals, is actually stronger and harder than the rest of the bone. This is the barakah of what? This is the barakah of islah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for you and for me a sign to remind us about Him in everything, inside of ourselves and in the heavens, in the earth, in the body, in all other things, only if people would ponder over it. So when a person hears a piece of advice, Let him not get upset and angry. Let him not think of his own nafs in the ego sense. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in his book, what does he describe the munafiqeen as? يَحْسِبُونَ كُلَّ سَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. They are the ones who whenever something happens, whenever a shout happens, whenever someone talks about something, they're the ones who take it personally, immediately. Every single thing, they take it personally. When a am piece of advice is given, when general advice is given, know that first of all, the person who's giving it, if he's a sincere person, if he himself is not a munafiq, then he intends to give the advice to himself first. And then to his own family, and then to his own circle, and then to the generality, the Ammatul Muslimin. There's no piece of advice that's in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for what? Except for that piece of advice is for every Muslim. It's for every Muslim. It's not just for one person or another that if you bring something up, that you say you're picking on me, you're picking on the other person. The propensity to think that islah and good advice is picking on oneself, this is a propensity Allah Ta'ala by the nas of his own book. He describes this propensity as being one of the munafiqeen. So allow us to suspend this this incendiary quality that we have inside of us, that whenever some sort of correction is made, we always take it personally. It's not about I'm perfect and you're not, or you're perfect and I'm not. Brothers and sisters, none of us are perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't have to be here and ask Allah for forgiveness and make so much dua and pray five times a day in the masjid again and again and again with such, you know, tadarru, and with such ittirar, with such dire need and necessity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a need for all of us. The first thing I wanted to share is what? Is that Allah Ta'ala describes the affairs of the believers between themselves as what? As amruhum shura baynahum. When they have an affair that they want to decide. What is the affair between them? It's shura. It's mutual discussion and mutual consultation. This means what? When a matter is supposed to be decided, there is some sort of authority, some sort of hierarchy. We live in a time and place where for some reason or another, culturally, we treasure the idea of not having any hierarchy, of everybody being equal. This is a cultural trait we've picked up from living in America and living in the West. And in all manners, it's not bad. There's a lot of good to it. There's a lot of khair in it. We are equal in the sense that everybody is equal in the eyes of the law. Everybody has the right to be treated fairly. But we're not equal in the sense that everybody's equal in their knowledge, in their piety, in their wisdom, in their understanding, in their abilities. They're not. Anyone who thinks that they're not is a person who has very little intelligence. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in his book, and we've mentioned it again and again in Surah Al-Isra, see, انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. Look how we have favored certain people over others. It's the text of the Quran itself. We have favored certain people over others, and in the Akhirah, the favoring of certain people over others will be even greater. There will be even greater difference between people's ranks, and even greater favor Allah Ta'ala will show to certain people over others. So don't take this cultural matter that we take as a matter of pride out of its place. Its place is what? In the eyes of the law, in the eyes of procedure, in the eyes of judgment, in the eyes of the court, and in ultimately in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, everyone will be judged according to the same standard. It doesn't mean everybody is equal. There is a philosophy, a political philosophy, in which they say, no, everybody is equal in every single matter, in every single matter. That political philosophy is called anarchy. Very few people have studied political science or have studied philosophy. They know colloquially amongst people, the word anarchy means total chaos. It means what? Total chaos. That's not what philosophically it originally was meant to be. It was originally meant to say, I have no authority over you, you have no authority over me, so everyone can manage themselves. But what happens when you have anarchy? The natural result is chaos. This has been the tajriba and the experience of every person, one after the other. Neither has Islam ever taught anarchy, nor has any other useful system or any other successful system of politics or of governance or of society in the history of mankind. But this is exactly what we have in our community, our Muslim community. It's anarchy. It's anarchy. When it comes to the ilm, it's anarchy. You have a person of learning say the hukam on a certain matter, and he quotes precedent. He says, this is not my hukum I come up with myself. Rather, this is what the imams of the Salaf said. This imam had this opinion, this imam had this opinion, this imam had this opinion. And these are all valid opinions. And other than that are not valid for this, that, and the other reason. And people feel absolutely, absolutely, absolutely comfortable raising their hands to Shaykh, well, I don't think this is the other thing, the other thing. There is a difference between teaching and learning, and there's a difference between being an arrogant person. When you come to a class, when you come to a class, a dars, and that day, the chapter happens to be a chapter in which this specific mas'ala or issue is being discussed. And you want to learn more about the mas'ala, and you want to question the shaykh in order to learn, for the purpose of learning. This is not only a good thing, this is a matter on which a person will be rewarded. There are so many masail people fight about. People fight about moon sighting. People fight about the timing of the prayers. People fight about the timing and the hay'a of the Salatul Eid. They fight about 100 different things. If you're sitting in Dars and you've read Tahara and you've read Salat and you get to the book of Siyam and you know the method of finding the beginning of Ramadan comes up and you want to discuss this issue, you will receive reward from Allah Ta'ala for questioning the hukum. Why? Because at that point your niyyah is what? To learn. It's to learn. But if you show up in a meeting and the entire masjid has made a decision already, if you show up to a gathering, this is a decision that's already been made. How are the decisions made? Amruhum shura baynahum. There's an authority. The authority has the duty to listen to everybody. Once they've listened, then the people have the duty to listen to the authority. It's a very simple system. Once a decision has already been made, then afterward to show up and say, no, this is wrong for this, that, and the other reason. Listen, akhi, we had a meeting. We got together, we decided this. We had an election. We elected who the president of the masjid is going to be. If you don't like him, we have a system. You can re-elect another one, or re-elect him, or elect a different one next time. We have a system, and we have authority. Brothers and sisters, we don't run on chaos. We don't run on anarchy. This is not a philosophy of Islam. If you want to know what anarchy looks like, you can go to entire countries in the Muslim world and outside of the Muslim world. I've seen many of them. My parents happen to be from one of them. It runs on absolute anarchy. Nobody respects the system. If you're a part of the system, respecting the system is not for anyone else's benefit. It's for your benefit and my benefit. When you respect the system, when I respect the system, we're respecting ourselves. It's not that we're doing it for anyone else's benefit. You cannot show up and disrupt every single thing that happens when it happens. Now, I feel bad. I debated in myself, should I even bring this issue up? Why? Because Salatul Jum'ah, there are many people who only come to Salatul Jum'ah. They don't come to the masjid at any other point in the week. In fact, there are many people who come to Salatul Jum'ah. They don't even come to Jum'ah every week. They may even come once a month. Some people may even show up once a year. Why disturb them with the political wranglings of certain people inside of the masjid? But the fact of the matter is what? Is that these are teachings that are applicable for every one of us, right? A, and B, this is not me saying this to other people. This is me saying it to myself, and us as a community saying it to ourselves for our own benefit. I'm not naming names or pointing fingers at people right now. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's a system. I'm not even endorsing who the president of the masjid is or who isn't, or who the imam is, who isn't. You hired the imam yourself. You elected the president yourself. If somebody says, don't waste my time with this, I'm only here for Jum'ah. Well, brothers and sisters, your decision not to participate in the system is also a decision, and it has consequences. So don't put the power of what happens, what the outcomes of matters are in the hands of other people. Rather, everybody should have their own power in their own hands. They should be empowered, feel empowered to make change themselves. If you see something that you don't like, this is your duty to work for it, to work to change it for something better. If a person says, I expect not to participate in anything, and then I expect something to be handed to me as a finished product that I'm ready to consume and that makes me happy, this is a very unreasonable expectation. And people say, well, how come, you know, you can do it at Walmart and Kmart and at the mall, you know, they have such good customer service, you can't have it at the masjid. If we're at that point where we have to explain the difference between what your own community is and what somebody else's business is, this is a subject for another khutbah. I'll leave it to discuss yourselves. Maybe if everybody or enough people have a need for a clarification on that matter, we can discuss it at a later time. But what? Anarchy is not tolerable. Anarchy means what? The issue comes up, Shaykh, what if the Imam of the Masjid is saying something, do something haram, or what if the President and the Board is doing something haram, right? Then yes, if they're saying, if the Board is saying, okay, we're going to have a, instead of a cake decorating contest, we're going to have like a bacon sandwich contest in the Masjid next week. Okay, that's something clear. It's something very open and shut that it's haram. There's no even difference of opinion regarding it. You don't accept it. Even then, there's a way of rectifying it before anarchy. But we're talking about what? We're talking about outbursts that don't just happen one time or on one day or on one night or in one event. But again and again, one after the other, as if it's a normal thing, and it's not a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. Even this America that taught us we're all free and that we're all equal. If you have an outburst in the court, what will the judge do? Say, oh, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I'm the arbiter of the Constitution, so I'm going to sit down and stay quiet and listen to everything you have to say right now. No, they will have the bailiff arrest you, and you will go to jail for contempt of court, which is what? It's a crime. You will be thrown out of your own court case. You will lose the right to even defend yourself in court. This is not a something I made up. This is a fact. This is a reality. There's no place in the world this type of anarchy will be tolerated anywhere. Again, this doesn't have to be do with me being imam or with who is the president or who isn't. If you don't like the imam, you can change him. If you don't like the president, you can change him. But there's a method of doing it, and that method is not anarchy. That method is not through anarchy. It's through working through the system. There is a hadith about Iyad bin Ghanam al-Ash'ari. He is a sahaba, he is a sahabi, he is a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was a governor. He came and visited a place called Dara, which is by Mardin, somewhere in Anatolia. It was traditionally considered to be part of Sham. He goes to the person who is ruling over Dara, and he's so upset with him that he flogs him. He flogs him. He has him flogged for some impropriety that he did as ruler of that place. This is narrated by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Imam Hakim. It's a very strong narration, by the way. Historical narrations like this are very rarely narrated through such strong chains of narration. Hisham bin Hakim, who is another Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sees the harshness with which this goes down, and he goes to Iyad bin Ghanam, and he chastises him openly in front of everybody, harshly. He chastises him harshly. After a couple of days, he comes back to Iyad bin Ghanam al-Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he apologizes. He said, I was harsh with you. I shouldn't have chastised you that way. And Iyad bin Ghanam, a person of great sabr and of great patience and of great hikmah, what does he say to him? Right? He says, I'm sorry. Hisham bin Hakim says, not only does he say I'm sorry, but he gives an excuse for himself. He says, the reason I chastised you like this in front of everybody is what? Is that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say what? I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, the harshest of you in punishment in the hereafter will be the harshest of you in punishment in this world. Meaning I disapproved of the way you punished this person so harshly, and that's why I chastised you in front of everybody. Iyad bin Ghanam responds to him as with what? He says, listen, the one who you had companionship with, I also had companionship with, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this very thing that you heard from him, I also heard it from him. But I also heard something else from him. What? That if one of you has a problem with authority in an affair, let him take that person by the hand and let him go to a place where nobody else is around and let him say what he needs to say. If that authority accepts what your nasiha is, then he accepts it. And if he doesn't accept it, he doesn't accept it. But at that point, your responsibility for that person is complete. Now, why is it that this is something great people? Their affair is great. Their affair is very important. People are living and dying because of these things. People are being affected. Their livelihoods are being affected. We're talking about the governance of state. Okay? This is the procedure and the protocol for the governance of state. These are very important matters. Why is it that the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? That you should respect authority in that situation, and that you should respect the system in that situation, and you should not behave with anarchy and chaos in such a situation. Why? Because there's a hikmah that overrides the one small matter you want to chastise somebody about. It's a small matter, but the disruption of the system is a large matter. One wrong thing happening is something that can be easily rectified. The system being rocked and the system being broken to pieces is not something that's easily rectified. It's not. This is a haqiqa. It's a truth. It's the haq. It's something that has been witnessed in nations all over the world again and again. And it's something that, unfortunately, the time and the place we live in is witnessing this matter again and again. What did he say? Let him take the authority by the hand. Let him go to a place where nobody else is, and let him give him nasiha with sincerity. Tell him what he thinks is wrong and feels is wrong. Now tell me, brothers and sisters, if that's what, for such important matters, the protocol that the Prophet ﷺ chalked out, and that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum reminded one another about, what should the protocol be for us? Is there anything that the Imam is going to do, or the President is going to do, or the board is going to do, that will kill a person before the next election comes? That a person will die from it, or a person will suffer bodily injury from it? No. And if it's a matter of halal and haram, marhaban. Be the first one to raise your voice, I'll be there with you. If we go and tell the authority that what they're doing is haram privately and they don't listen, we'll say it publicly also. I'll be there with you. And if I'm not, say it against me. This is the haq, this is the truth, this is the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If it's not a matter like that that's open and shut, let a person follow the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and let us not disrespect ourselves by being so chaotic and so disrespectful to the system. I'm not saying that a person who has a complaint is not right. They may well be right. They're often right. More often than not, they're right. But there's a way of doing all of these things. I personally sit in the masjid from Salatul Asr until Salatul Isha, and sometimes over an hour after Salatul Isha. If anyone wants to talk to me, it's very easy. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, somebody said, perhaps the imam is not going to be accessible because certain people can't come in the afternoon or in the evening, so come during the daytime. I come and sit in the daytime. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I sit an hour after Salatul Dhuhr as well. Most days I'm even here in Salatul Fajr. If you have an issue, please come and talk to me. If you have an issue with the board, talk to them. If you feel more comfortable talking to them, if you feel more comfortable talking to me, come talk to me. If you feel more comfortable talking to another brother or sister who can come and talk to me or talk to them, deal with the issues this way. Don't deal with the issues in another way. And for God's sakes, don't be people who يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ سَيْحَةً عَلَيْهِمْ. There was a specific incident that happened just this last Friday. It was a matter of complete shame. And one of the things somebody told me, actually two or three people told me, is what? Why is it that you're picking on us and you're picking on our group? There was a khutbah given in November. The topic was also picking on us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Was I here in November? Was I here in November? Is there anybody in this masjid right now who has the jur'ah to show your face in front of everybody and say that I'm racist against somebody? Or that I'm racist against somebody's tribe? Or that I'm racist against somebody's language? You can take the turban off of my head and finish the Jummah khutbah in front of everybody. I won't even fight. I'll put the stick in your hand. If you don't like the stick, I'll put it to the side. Say it right now and do it right now. But why is it that I have to sit in front of the entire majma' and be accused of not caring about Palestine and not caring about one race of people or the other? Don't you know it's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Abu Dawud narrates it. That he says, مَا دَخَلَ فِي رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَةِ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا خَرَجَ مِنْهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ مِثْلُ مَا دَخَلَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَةِ. That tribalism, racism doesn't enter into the heart of a person and the heart of a man except for the equivalent amount of iman will leave from that person's heart. If you look at each other and I look at each other in tribalistic lines, that this person is from that party and this person is from the other party, instead of understanding that we're all here for each other, we're all here together. We selected all of these positions. The reason I'm giving the Jummah khutbah is not that I beat somebody up and came here. This was by shura, not just of two people or three people, of the entire community. I remember I came here for an interview. I gave the Jummah khutbah. I gave a talk at night. I was here for the entire month of Ramadan. Why is it that somebody has the jur'ah to walk up in front of everybody inside the open masjid and accuse the imam of being racist and accuse the masjid of being racist? If the imam is racist and if the masjid is racist, you all elected them. You all are racist people. Why is it somebody has jur'ah to say this? And I'm very sorry to bring this up. But what... This is a reality. These are the ways that the masjids function. If you think that this is not the way the masjid should function or needs to function, you need to step up and you need to do your part in making islah of the community. The imam is not a superman or a nabi that came down from the sab'a samawat that he's going to wave his... Even the anbiya couldn't do that. There are some anbiya that nobody followed them. They'll be a nation unto themselves on the day of judgment. Why is there an expectation that this is somebody else's job? This is our job. Wallahi al-Azim, if anybody shows any racism to another person in this masjid, come talk to me, I'm the first one who will say something about it. Come talk to me, I'm the first one who will say something about it. This is not something, this is all shaytaniyat. Right? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's a hadith, a similar hadith to it is narrated in Muslim, but the wording is very brief, so I bring the narration of a sunan of Ibn Majah, which the muhaddithin have said is sahih. It's a upright narration. It's narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qata tahta ra'ati imniyatin yad'u ila asabiyatin aw yaghdabu li asabiyatin faqitlatuhu jahiliyatun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a very rigorously authenticated narration, what did he say? He said, whoever fights under the banner of imniya, of misguidance, fights for something that's not a matter of deen, but that's a matter of some other useless thing that's not something to fight about. Whether it be racism, tribalism, nationalism, you know, politics, etc., etc. They fight for that reason against other people, right? يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ عَصَبِيَّةٍ, and they call people toward tribalism. My tribe is this, your tribe is that, my tribe is doing this, and they just bring this up and bring this as a wedge and describe people as tribal affiliations instead of describing people by their affiliations of iman. Oh, يَغْضَبُ لِعَصَبِيَّةٍ. Or when they get angry, what are they getting angry for? For tribal issues. It's okay to say, oh, I feel persecuted as this group and as this person. And you never did anything for Gaza. You never did anything for Palestine. You never did anything for this and that. Who of you knows what I do on the weekend? Who of you knows what I do in my free time? Let someone stand up and say, tell me how much money have you raised for Gaza in the last year. Go ahead and stand up and tell me if you love Gaza so much. Nobody got angry and said, let's do a fundraiser for Gaza. Nobody told me that. It's just what? You don't care about Palestine. A'udhu billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is a tuhma of fisk in public. This is a crime. This in and of itself is a sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're silent and we think this is okay. This is not something to be silent about. This is not okay. Because when your imam and when your board, your masjid, your nizam, someone makes an accusation against it, they make an accusation against everybody. They make an accusation against what? Against everybody. The person whose anger is anger for asabiyah, their anger is only anger when they get sensitive about tribal lines. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about these people? What did he say about these people? فَقِتْلَتُهُ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. What does qitla mean? It's on the wazan of hay'a. It's ismu hay'a, right? Like sira, right? Sira is, sara yasiru means to walk. Sira is the way somebody walks, meaning the story of their life, how they did what they did in their life. Qitla is from qatl, that person when they die or when they're killed, the manner of their dying, the manner of their death, the manner of their killing is what? Jahiliyyah. They die on what? Jahiliyyah. It's as if to say that this is takfir. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah never made takfir of a person for sin. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the ghayat al-zajar. This is the extremity of warning people against a sin. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a certain sin resembles what? It resembles kufr. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's have a little bit more husn al-dhan of one another. Let's have a little bit more good opinion of one another, of the people that we have and the systems that we have in place. If you don't like something, there's a way of changing it without being a person of anarchy, without making wild accusations in public, without making disruption, without embarrassing our community in front of guests, without having to resort to these types of tactics. There are things in the masjid, I'm not the one who chooses everything in them. There are many things in the masjid, if I had my way, I would have changed them. But what? You cannot just walk in and force things. You have to let everything happen through its system. And for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if anybody looks on another person and sees this is fulan group, this is fulan group, this is Pakistani, this is Indian, this is Arab, this is African American. If you see yourself doing that, as everyone does, anyone who does, says that they don't is lying. Illa man sha Allah. Everybody has that. But remind yourself, I'll remind myself next time. Let's remind ourselves what? That this is from Jahiliyyah. This is khaslatun min khasa'il Jahiliyyah. It's a trait and an attribute from the traits and attributes of Jahiliyyah. Rather, this other person is my brother. He may be wrong, he may be right. I will make his islah, he will make my islah in the right way, in the correct way, with love and with sincerity. And we will respect the system that we have so that it can grow. And we will make islah of the system in the way that was told to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will not be people of anarchy. We will be people of order. We will not be people of chaos. We will be people of order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah when people are together. When people suspend their own rights and suspend their own opinions and suspend their own angers and suspend their own privileges in order for the whole, in order for the whole system to run together. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the reason that barakah comes down on a people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us so much tawfiq. And again, if you think that this is a talk about you, then you shouldn't say, why is he saying this about me? Say, what? Is this thing in me? If it is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give tawfiq for me to rectify it and reward to the one who brought it up. If it's done an injustice, then seek forgiveness. And if you feel like you have something to say, I'm here to listen to you. I'll sit in my office for 3 hours right now after this khutbah if you want to talk to me about it. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, if you don't take anything else home from the gathering, it's what? Is that we're not people of anarchy. We're people who respect our own system because we respect ourselves. We respect Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're not different race groups and all of this other stuff when we look at each other. When we look at each other, we say this is a person who carries La ilaha illallah. We have mercy and patience with one another. And we have hope Allah Ta'ala can rectify us. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Wa lillahi alhamd. Qala Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala fi kitabihi al-kareem. Ya ayyuh أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. وقال عز وجل في مقام آخر: لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.